Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive. It is powerful, life transforming. Thank you that it sets people free. Thank you that it gives us the course in which we need to live by. Father, I thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, I thank you when things are tricky with you, it always is solid ground. Father, wherever there are challenges, I thank you that we can always go ahead confidently because you always lead us in triumphal procession. So, Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith rising up in this place. I thank you for the spirit of faith that would just ignite in every one of our lives this morning, that we'd see things from your perspective, respond with a ready and a quick heart. Father, I thank you for this season. It's a season to wind down, but it's a season to wind up in more in your purposes. Father, I thank you for 2012. It's going to be a year like no other. Father, I thank you that we're coming into a year and we're going to live in and see things that we've been praying for, believing for, and longing for. Father, I thank you for what is normal now is going to become abnormal. And there are things that you're saying are normal in the Christian life that at the moment are abnormal, are going to become normal in terms of seeing the supernatural in our everyday lives, seeing a much quicker and deeper response in our own lives, in other lives, out in the community, in the region and beyond. Father, I thank you that you are closing in on this nation at this time. You are working your purposes out in this day. Even though the world says things are confusing, even though people are rising up because they're fed up, Father, I thank you that you're closing in and raising up your people to see your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you for an accelerator in every person's spirit this morning, that we would move out of any apathy, we'd move out of any mediocrity, and we would go into top gear with you in this season, in the coming into this new year. We would shake off the dust, shake off any cobweb, shake off anything that would seek to hold us back. Father, I thank you for a trigger point in our lives in these days where we'll live fully in the way that you've called us to, you want us to, and you're commanding us to. Father, I thank you for a revived people. Father, I thank you for a focused people. Father, I thank you for an intentional people. Father, I thank you for a faith-filled, spirit-filled people. Father, I thank you for a people like no other living in this place, from this place, that would see your kingdom come in schools, in colleges, in places of work and business, in our homes, in the community, in every sphere of life. We would see your kingdom come in a way that we never have before, and we are living for today that we see them tomorrow and in next year. We praise your awesome name. Amen. Amen. Okay, grab a seat. We've had an average meeting so far. Is that all right? Yeah. It's been all right so far, but God wants all right to be part of our history from this morning. And he wants to turn the heat up. He wants to accelerate things and the way we live, not just coming to a meeting with expectation, but the way we live has got to be on another level altogether. Praise and worship was great this morning, but there's a whole nother realm to God than we touched this morning. It's awesome hearing the stories that Sharon was sharing there. I'm sitting there thinking, God, we are not living in that. Is that all right? We just got to be straight this morning. We've got 20 minutes or so. And, you know, there's so much more to God. We can't tip God with our hats. We can't give him the fag end of our effort and our time. He deserves everything of who we are. I listened to Pastor Jonathan's message yesterday morning when I got up, and from last Sunday. If you weren't here, you need to hear it. It was a powerful word. The message was God wants everything, and he certainly does. And that was a challenging but encouraging message. I don't know what you found, but God wants to take us on a bit more from that and be a little bit more specific. What does that look like in reality? Are you ready? So take your seatbelts off for a minute because we don't have any restrictions. Are you ready? Okay, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 this morning. Going to look at seven things really quickly that are going to help us be consecrated, to help us live devoted, and to enable us to live with God having everything, not just wanting everything, but he has everything. Are you ready? Yes. Anybody else out there? Yes. Lovely. Okay, Luke chapter 8. I'm reading from the Truth Version. This is the parable of the sower. And Jesus talks about four different types of ground and what happens as a result of the seed going into these different types of ground. The disciples are asking him to explain this parable to them. And in verse 9, he says, "You have been given revelation about the secrets of God's kingdom, but I speak to others in parables to fulfill what was written. Though they have sight, they do not see. Though they hear, they do not understand." This is what the parable means. The seed is God's word. The path represents those who hear, but then the devil comes and steals the word from their hearts to prevent them from believing and so being saved. The rock signifies those who at first receive the word with joy, but there is no depth to their faith. They believe until their faith is tested, and then they fall away. The thorns stand for those who hear the word, but the life within them is choked because they worry and focus on their material possessions and the pleasures the world offers. So they never mature in their faith. However, the good soil consists of those with good, sound hearts. They not only hear the word, but maintain their trust in it. And because they persevere in their faith, they produce a good harvest. Four different types of heart there, four different types of ground. Three of them, it says there, have issues and don't end up producing the fruit or producing what God wants to produce in people's lives. For number one, I've got 7 points. Is that all right? Don't normally do this kind of thing, but I've got 7 points this morning. First one is, if we're going to be mature people, if we're going to continue to grow in God, if we're going to be a people that are consecrated, a people that are devoted, a people that are living with God, having everything, then we're going to be a people who live beyond the moment. Okay? Why do we say that? Well, in the third ground that is talked about, those who receive the word represents those who hear, but the devil comes and steals. And those who, the issues of the day, the material things, the things of this world, grab them. Yep. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at people this morning who are number four on that list of soil. I'm prophetically speaking, and I'm going to be speaking by faith to every person in this room that you are a ready soil, ready to take the seed that God is putting in our lives so that it produces 30, 60 and 100 fold and not just is going to get robbed by the enemy, robbed by a material thing, robbed by something natural that you are after. You see, a mature person has understood that my faith is not determined, my identity is not determined, my security is not determined, my feelings are not determined, my decisions are not determined by material things, by how well things are going around me, by the circumstances, whether the enemy's having a go at me or not, whether things are going good or things are going bad, or things are tough, or things have a resistance to them. Somebody with a mature heart, somebody who's maturing in God is saying, no matter what that looks like, I'm going to still press on, make right choices in the face of opposition, in the face of when my feelings say opposite, I'm still going to praise God, I'm still going to give thanks, I'm still going to rejoice, I'm still going to rise up because I'm not living in the power of the moment. I'm living beyond the moment because I have a cause that I'm living for, and this cause that I'm living for has an effect. How many of you want to live for a cause that has no outcome? None of us. We all want to live for a cause that has an outcome, that has an effect, that produces something. What does the word of God say? However, the good soil consists of those with good, sound hearts, those who are feeding on the word. They not only hear the word, but they maintain. They work at something. They maintain their trust in it, and because they persevere, because they keep going. When there's opposition, they keep going. When the circumstances say no, they keep going. When the enemy's having a go, they keep going. When things don't seem to be going right, they still keep going. Why? Because the word doesn't change relating to your circumstances, how you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what is happening in your life. And so those people, they maintain the word, they persevere with it, producing a good harvest in your own life and in those that are around you. And so we live beyond the moment. What is living beyond the moment? It's living for kingdom things, not earthly or temporal things. Decisions you make today affect what happens tomorrow. The momentum by which you live today determines how you come into tomorrow. And so choices you make today will affect things that are happening tomorrow. How many of you know when you build a house, you build it brick by brick? And when you first start, it doesn't look like much. It just looks like foundations. But as it goes, as you put one brick on the next, and you're so close to it, but you're still building one brick, one layer. You then step back at the end of the day and you look and you say, wow, that's changed a lot since this morning. But you build it one brick after another. Sometimes your back can ache. Sometimes you feel like, when am I ever going to finish this thing? Sometimes you feel like the weather's not the weather to build. It's not the environment to build. But yet, you know, step by step, brick by brick, this thing is being built. This thing is becoming established. This thing then is going to be a home in which others can live in. And so this phrase that Jonathan used last week, God wants everything. We're using today that consecration, that devoted thing. I'm not saying suddenly the Holy Spirit is going to zap you in a moment. But living devoted is a choice, moment by moment, day by day. One of the guys on the team a few weeks ago, I had some guys together and we were talking, chatting, praying a bit together. And I just asked, went around the room, what is the one thing that you know you're living with at the moment that God is saying to you? And how are you responding to that at the moment? And one of the guys said, one of the things I want to do is I want God to be right in the middle of my day. So every 2 hours, I stop work for between 5 and 10 minutes and I pray. I pray a bit. I listen to the Lord, read the word for a moment. Just, is there anything you want me to say? Anything you want me to be aware of in the last 2 hours that I need to make sure my heart's right and attitude's right? And I thought, what a great way to live. Every couple of hours, he stopped for a few minutes. He just wanted to pray, plug in, and just give himself to the Lord in a fresh way. What's that? That's devoting. Saying, God, I want to bring everything under your Lordship in the middle of my workday, in the middle of other circumstances, whatever's going on. I want you to be Lord. Okay, we've got to move on. Number two, being a devoted people, consecrating yourself. Firstly, comes also from a place of understanding that you are rooted. Let's have a look at in Ephesians for a moment. Consecration is not based on who you are, it's based on who He is at work in you. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. You can see from all this why I kneel before the Father, the one who is responsible for his entire family, those already in heaven and those on earth. I pray that out of his glorious riches you will be strengthened with power by the working of his Spirit in your inmost being. This is so that you know the presence of Christ in your hearts because of your faith in him. I also pray that your lives will be deeply rooted in his love, that you'll be so steadfast in his love that like all those who believe in Jesus and who are set apart for his purposes as his saints, you will be able to comprehend something of the amazing extent of Christ's love. This love seems boundless, unlimited, and through that love you can be filled to the fullest extent with God himself. So you're rooted and established in his love. That's your root. And now God has been at work in these past few months uprooting some things that are the wrong roots in our lives. And we're aware that there's still other things happening in people's lives. So people are working through at the moment where God is uprooting wrong stuff so that we're not living out of a wrong root, out of a wrong foundation. And God is rerouting some people in his love, rerouting them in his word, rerouting them and establishing them in who he is. Now let's have a quick look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It's in the context here of spiritual maturity that the writer to the Hebrews is talking about. And he says, I'm just going to read this from the NIV actually, in this one for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says here, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Wow, what a verse. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, for me, that doesn't just mean, you know, the obvious good from evil. If you train yourself in the Word, you understand how to distinguish good decisions from bad ones. And that's a daily thing that goes on. Pastor Gary, a few weeks ago, was talking about aeroplanes that come in, that want to come and land in our lives. And the aeroplanes represent different things. Could be fears. Could be all kinds of different things. And how often we welcome these things, however he described it. And he's like, yeah, come in, land in my life and take over and everything. And he was saying, how do we deal with those aeroplanes so they don't land in our lives and take root? And it says here that by constant use of the Word have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You see, if we're rooted in something, then we're going to draw from whatever that root is. If what we're rooted in is the Word of God, then we're going to draw on the Word. See, when the pressure's on in our lives, when there are challenges in our lives, where there's possible temptation in our lives, where there's decisions to make, both small and large decisions, what is it that rises up on the inside of you? Is it the root of the Word that you're established in that rises up and you find you respond with something rising up from the Word in your life? Or do you find something of a reaction that rises up in your life because you're drawing on something that is not the Word in the sense of being rooted? Yet here it says, mature by constant use have trained themselves. That's very interesting. There's a lot of stuff going around the church at the moment, the church, about grace. And there's some really good stuff and there's some unbiblical stuff going on. And some of the stuff that's being taught is, you know, about grace is that you don't have to do anything. It's just the grace of God now. If you've sinned, if once you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, he's forgiven you, that's it. And if you do mess up, then you don't have to ask to forgive anymore. You just appeal to the righteousness of God that will cover that sin. It sounds pretty close. It sounds quite good, but it's not the truth. You can only appeal to the righteousness of God because of what he's done, but you still need to repent of your sin in order then to then live in the righteousness of God in that area in your life. And so when we talk about having to do something ourselves, because that's not grace, that's law. They trained themselves, or they devoted themselves, or they gave themselves, or isn't it a work of grace that God does it all? Well, he's done it all to enable us to live in it, but you still got to make those decisions to live in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, in obedience to God. There's certain things that you do to train yourself in righteousness in response to what God's word is. And the funny thing about grace is as you respond to what God does, you then live in his grace. And you activate that in an active way in your life. And so to be somebody of consecration, we're training ourselves to use the word so that we can distinguish what is good from evil, so that we can make right choices. So we feed on the word. We put water on the roots in our lives so that the sap that is growing up, the sap, the life of who Jesus is, then has a continual supply going on in our lives for that to grow up, to strengthen, so that we then bear fruit. Okay, third one here. We're kind of going through these. Third one, that a mature believer. How many of you want to mature in the things of God?
Amen.
Okay, if a mature believer, a person who's growing in the things of God, they understand here in relation to what God is doing. How many of you want to be part of the answer?
Amen.
Some of you. The rest of you, I'm not sure what you're doing here then. How many of you want to be part of the answer?
Yes.
Yeah, come on. So we want to be part of what the answer is in people's lives. So let's have a look at Philippians chapter 3. How many of you have read things in the New Testament where Paul describes his shipwrecks, his beatings and his hardships, where he's been verbally abused, he's been left for dead, he's been beaten up, and all he was doing was wanting to get the gospel out there. But you know, being part of the answer, you can have no complaints. You can't be a moaner, a complainer. You want to be part of the answer, you're going to have stuff coming your way. See, sometimes when we talk about, you know, God wants everything, sounds cool, doesn't it? Sounds great. And it was an awesome message last week in terms of actually our lives belong to Him. They don't belong to us. But, you know, if you devote yourself, if you consecrate yourself, if you give yourself to God, the enemy is going to come looking for you because he knows the ones that are devoted, those that are consecrated, they mean business. And in one sense, we could say in the spirit, it's like, you know, the enemy sees the ones that are living in the life and the power of what they really believe. And those that are just, well, you know, I'll sort of plug in when I feel like it and I'll unplug when I don't. But those that are, that we've just read in Hebrews, that are using the word, they're mature and they distinguish good from evil. They know how to make right decisions. They know how to discern things. That's another thing that's pretty low in the life of the church in general, discerning. Discernment. Where's the enemy and where isn't he and all of that? You see, if you feed on the word, you draw on the word, discernment's going to be sharper in your life. It's going to be there, have a more of an edge because you're feeding and drawing on the word, which enables you to distinguish between what is the truth and what isn't. So we want to be part of the answer, number three. Philippians chapter 3 here. Paul's talking about having no confidence in the flesh. And he said, I could boast more than anybody else about how religious he was before he encountered Jesus. He said, if anyone else in verse 4 thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He says, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He's saying, I could boast all day long. But actually then he says, but I count it absolutely rubbish, nothing in comparison to, where's that? In comparison, let's read it. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness, verse 8, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Then he says there, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Here's his heart coming through. I want to know Christ. I don't want to know stuff. I want to know Christ. Then he says, not that I've already obtained all this. He said, this is my heart. This is the direction I'm going in. Not that I've already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. You just hear his heart here. No matter what comes my way, I'm still going to stretch. I'm still going to press. I'm still going to go forward. I'm still going to just keep going in a direction that I'm so convinced of. You see, you and me, we live by the convictions that we have in our lives. Now, you can have convictions from different places. You can have a conviction about something because of the way you were raised. You can have a core value in your life because of how you were raised by your parents. Now, they might not necessarily be the same core values or convictions as the word, the truth. Some, I'm sure, were raised, were in line with what the Word of God says. But there's all kinds of values and convictions that we can have from all kinds of places in our lives. But God has given us a blueprint. He's given us a pattern to live by. Words are very important to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put them down on some, well, it's down in paper form. He didn't really put them on paper form. But he wouldn't have given of his Word if it wasn't really important. Why is it important? Because he is the Word. And so words are important. So the convictions in our lives, the things we're convinced of, the pattern that we live by has got to be the pattern of the Word. It's got to be the blueprint of the Word. The truths that we live by have got to be the truth of the Word of God. The convictions that we have got to come from what the Word of God is. That defines a conviction. You see, whatever convictions you have, when the pressures come your way, you'll respond in relation to the conviction that is going on inside, that you live by. The non-negotiables. You see, what did the enemy do when he tried to tempt Jesus? He came and he quoted things that were true. He quoted the Word to Jesus. You are, if you are the Son of God. So he's, you know, he talked about being, you know, challenging him about eating natural bread because he knew he was the bread of life. And so the enemy came and tempted Jesus, but he always put a twist at the end of it. And the enemy always puts a bit of a twist at the end of things when he tries to tempt us or tease us away or seduce us away. Often he puts things in a way that aren't so obviously wrong, but that's how deception gets in as well. And the enemy tries to twist things so that we get taken off the track that God wants us to when we allow him that place. And so the convictions that we live by are key, that they come from the Word of God. That's why here we're so keen to teach the Word, to preach the Word, to live the Word, because we don't want to be deceived in any way or get tempted off to the left or to the right in any way. And we need to then check against the Word the things that even are preached here. Go away and see in the Word. Hopefully we're preaching from the Word here, you know. But people, when they talk about things, is that what the Bible actually says? Is that what the truth really says? So we're going to be part of the answer. We're going to be people of the Word. We're going to be people that don't complain. So getting back to Paul for a minute, in the context of this, he then begins to speak to the Philippians. He's in tears here in verse 18, where he says, "For as I have often told you before and now say even again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. And their mind is on earthly things." Then he says, but our citizenship is somewhere else. It's in heaven. But in the context of this, wanting to be part of the answer, in this context of pursuing Christ, wanting to know Christ, saying that everything in the natural that I could boast about is rubbish in comparison to who he is. Then what he begins to talk about is the heart that he has for the lost. He begins to weep, and he's weeping as he's writing this to the Philippians, saying, look at the state that people's lives in, but they don't even realize they're there. So in all this pressing in, it's not just to know Christ myself, it's also to make Christ known. And so we want to be part of the answer. No complainers and not negative in any way. Let's have a look at number four. We've got to be quick here. Number four, Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15. Again, probably very well-known verses for many people here. Not just part of the answer, but you have a part to play. A few weeks ago, we talked about significance. We talked about your life matters. And we had 20 people up here, locked arm in arm. And we kind of looked at what does it mean to be a member of the body, that every person is significant, everybody's life matters. Your daily choices do have an effect on the life and the dynamic of who we are. Maybe we don't understand that fully, but the reality is the choices you make day to day determine the health and the life and the vibrancy of who we are as a people. In Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, instead, mature believers, again, it's talking about speaking the truth in love, will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, somebody who's wanted to be consecrated, who's devoting themselves, understands that their choices, their decisions, the way they build themselves up, the things they decide, they affect the health and the life of the body. So each one of us has a part to play. There's three things. Let's just quickly turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's three things that a mature believer, if you like, understands, if we're growing in God, that we understand is important in our lives. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians and encouraging them at the beginning of this letter to them. Verse 2 of chapter 1. He says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John, the book of John, in verse 29, Jesus says himself that the work of God is to believe. Believe in the one that sent him. But he says the work of God is to believe. And so a mature believer understands, actually, first and foremost, the work that God has given me to do is to believe. It's not just to get busy. It's to believe. So first, if we've got a part to play, then firstly, we're a people of faith. Believe what God says, because God will say things that we don't yet see. And the people of faith move towards those things because they have a conviction that is stronger than their circumstances. But in 1 Thessalonians, he's saying, we want to commend you. We're encouraging you by your work produced by faith. So whatever you do, it's got to be done with faith. But then he also then talks about the labor prompted by love. So here's the work. This is what God wants to do, but it's got to be done in love. So it's faith working through love. So it's not just faith on its own. Come on, let's just believe. But it's faith working through love, which is the power of God expressed through the love of God. But it's done with an endurance that is inspired by hope. What is biblical hope? Something certain that is on its way. See, natural hope says, hopefully it will happen one day, maybe. Whereas biblical hope says, no, it's something definite that is on its way. So we're a people of faith living to see revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society. It's going to take a few years to see that take place. But do you see it? We're not living just for a moment or an explosion or something in a meeting or in a moment. Something's going to last for that long. But that means devotion. There's a daily consecration. There's a daily giving of ourselves to Him, to His purposes. There's decisions we make many, many moments in the day when conversations are going on. The pressures are around us. Circumstances challenge us. Somebody gets upset. This happens here. A surprise here in terms of maybe an unexpected one, a negative thing or something. But how we respond to all of that determines how we move through it and how we move through these things together as a people. Just briefly, the last few minutes. The fifth thing here we've got in terms of being consecrated, being devoted, is for people who live for purpose and not pleasure. Yeah. That we're content no matter what is going on around us. Let's have a look at Philippians 4 for a moment. This is Paul the Apostle speaking here. He says in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Wow. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So what's he saying here? He said, my life, my Christian life, how I see how I'm doing with God is not based on the circumstances around me. There's just been a gospel that has been preached for quite a few years now that if you're walking right with God, then what that looks like on the outside is that you're blessed. In the sense that, you know, all your material possessions are sorted. You've got money in the bank. You should drive a nice car or wear nice clothes. And it's based with a little bit of the spirit of the world in it that says if you're walking with God in the right way, then everything's going to be rosy, everything's going to look cool, and if that isn't happening around you, then there's something wrong. But Paul says here, I've learned to be content that my life, my faith, my walk with God how he sees me, how I am in him, is not determined on whether I've got food in the cupboard or whether I've got absolutely nothing and I don't know where my next meal's coming from. Whether I have a car or not, whether I have a house or not, whether I've got nice clothes or not, whether my job's going great or not. What he's saying here, the circumstances do not determine to me how my faith does or doesn't work. Whether God likes me or not. Whether I'm doing well or not in God. We heard from Sharon, there's people in the townships in Port Elizabeth in the natural have absolutely zip. And we get upset if we don't have a couple of quid to buy some chocolate. Or if our mobile phone, you know, on the internet somewhere doesn't work as fast as it should do. Come on, oh, this is rubbish. I've got to get a new one. I've got an iPhone 4 and I have to get a 4S now because this just isn't fast enough. It only brings it up in a megasecond instead of a whatever second. Oh, you know, and we get upset and oh, something, you know, and all of that. Yet people who have nothing have everything. So our everything is not determined by what's in our hand in the natural. And so Paul is saying here, I'm living for purpose, not for pleasure. I'm content no matter what. What does James say in chapter 1 about trials and things that are coming against? He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, chapter 1. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, the last two things. First one is here, in terms of maturing, growing, coming into 2012 as a church, in terms of being consecrated and devoted, in terms of being intentional, in terms of our life together. God wants every person in this room to be a spiritual parent. We haven't got time to go into it now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is speaking about sending Timothy to Corinth to go on his behalf. And there's a number of things there. But he sees Timothy as his son, his spiritual son. He's raised him up, discipled him, and he's now sending him into a situation that's going to stretch him. And Paul could go himself, but he's like, no. Timothy needs to begin to move from sonship now. He needs to exercise some spiritual authority. He needs to begin to release some things and grow and mature and move into another dimension of his life with God and the call upon his life and everything. And so he sends Timothy to Corinth to go and sort out some things that maybe in the natural we would say, no, Paul, you've got to go there. But basically he's being a parent. He's raising his son up in the faith and he's pushing him out and dropping him in it. And God wants to drop every person in this room in it next year in 2012. Is that all right? We've said before, the next phase of growth for you and me as believers is not just to have another encounter with God. It's not just to have another meeting with God. That's all part of it because we want to stay fresh. We want to continually grow. We want to have a great heart and a good attitude. We want to be pursuing Christ in me, like Paul is talking about here. But also, in one sense, there's a whole lot of stuff in the life of this church, in our lives together, that's only going to come alive in another dimension and see the power of it at work through our lives if we're sowing and giving and investing and laying our lives down for others. Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I think sometimes it's not the amount of workers, it's workers that are available, ready, willing. I think part of our challenge now as we go forward as a church is, you see, a mature believer understands, and if we're maturing in the things of God, they understand that they're not part of something just to get built up. When there's people in this room, we're all in different places in our walk with God. And, you know, and we grow through growing stages. And there's a stage when you first give your life to Christ and your life is geared around being built up and being strengthened. You've got a heart to serve, to be involved in stuff. But people love the atmosphere. They like being together. They feel, you know, a sense of belonging. They feel like I'm part of this. I you know, people encourage me. They strengthen me or whatever. But the language, the tone of it is generally still, I come because I'm being built up. But in that maturing, in that growing, there's a tipping point. And you get to that tipping point when you suddenly realize, hang on a minute, I don't just want to be built up now. I want to be here to build up. I want to be here now to help see this thing become stronger and grow. Therefore, I want to sow into it, build into it, give into this thing in a different way. And when you mature in that way, you understand that in that giving, in that building, that you get built up. And that it's a part of growing as a believer. And that's part of what we're talking about now in terms of being a parent and in the things of God. For many people in this room, you know, you're being built up as a believer. Primarily, it's going to come by how you sow into other people's lives. Because there's a kingdom principle. As you sow, you will reap. It's better to give than to receive. And so as you give and as you sow, you will get a return. You will get built up. Because you're having to reproduce what God is doing in your life into somebody else with the truth and with the word and how you're giving and sowing. We have 500 to 600 unsaved people who come through this building every week. There's more than that we're reaching out in the community in different ways. We've got more people coming through our life as a church weekly that are unsaved than we have in the church. So we haven't got to go looking for a harvest. It's here. The harvest is ready. It's plentiful. The workers, a few. Lord, then, for workers, for the harvest. And I think it's not just numbers. It's people would, right, I'm available, I'm ready, I'm willing. Come on, pick me, choose me. I'm here, God, or whatever. Last thing is the word fruitful. If we're giving God everything in the way that Jonathan was talking about last week, as we live devoted, consecrated in that way, then John chapter 15 talks about remaining in the Word, abiding in the Word. And if we do that, God remains and abides in us. It talks about living in obedience. And in the context of that, living in God's love. It then talks about Jesus saying that if you live in this way, then I'm saying this to you so that my joy will be complete in you. So he's saying living an obedient life is a joyful life. Living in a life in relation to a relationship of love with God is a joyful life. Then at the end of that section, you know, I've appointed you to go and bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. Then at the end of that section, Jesus then says, then you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. It's like, wow, that's awesome. So how many of you want to live in an obedient life, an obedience? And because that's, as we've heard, not a popular word these days, obedience, because the world says it crushes. Obedience is, you know, you're under control, you have to do what you're told. Whereas actually, it's just the wrong, but you know, in terms of the kingdom, when you're obedient to the things of God, man, it sets you free. You live in joy and freedom and liberty. Because you know, when you walk with God, there's a freedom, there's a confidence. When your conscience is clear, man, you know, you feel like the whole world can be transformed, you know, because there's nothing that hinders your confidence before God because you know your conscience is clear or clean. Whereas, you know, but when you know your conscience isn't because we're making choices that don't line up with the word, then you don't feel the same confidence and conviction because you feel like, oh, there's something in the way. But when we live with that clear conscience, it's like, wow, God, you know, I'm here. Do whatever you want in me. Do what you want through me. Let's stand together, shall we? If we can have Chad, if we can have you up for a minute, mate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In 2012 is going to be a different year than 2011. This has been a tipping point year. Here for us, for many churches in the UK. Every year is a Jesus-centered year, but 2012 needs to be a real Jesus-centered year. It's only Jesus that can change lives, transform lives. It's not techniques, it's not formulas. It's not schedules and all of that. It's only Jesus that can change lives. It's not formulas and steps. Well, do this and do that and do the other. And here's 4 steps to this and 5 points for that. And God has been working deeply in our lives as a church this year, particularly this autumn. God's been going deeper. Doing a work amongst us. But you know, When people come amongst us, I probably, this is in your heart in the same way it's in mine, I don't want people to talk about us in the sense of, oh, what a great church, or, oh, I just love that church, or I just love this and that. I want them to come amongst us and talk about Jesus. Oh, sounds nice, and it sounds obvious. Well, yeah, well, we all want that. But actually, that's what's got to happen. That when somebody gives their life to the Lord, they just have to give their life to Jesus. That it's not, well, I'll sort of give it a go just so I can be free from the pain or the guilt or whatever's going on in my life. But they don't necessarily want Jesus. They just want an out of what they're in. But there's this deep conviction that the Word talks about. And I want to live with a deeper conviction in my life of who God is. And so that when I'm around people, when they're around me, whether it's with you guys in some context or whether it's with people that don't know Jesus, there's something about Jesus that is the middle of everything. There's something of the presence of who He is, the tangibleness of who He is, the life of who He is. And that comes from just pursuing Jesus, worshipping Jesus, surrendering to Jesus. That every couple of hours thing, one of the guys on the team, every couple of hours I just want to stop for 5 or 10 minutes, talk to Jesus, listen to Him, read the Word. I just want to plug in, just want to make sure, just drawing on Him. I want to be dependent on Him. It's like, oh, that was brilliant. Love that. Don't want to just clock in for a prayer time in the morning and clock out 15, 20 minutes, an hour later, and then go off and do the day. Jesus, I want to live in the power of Your Holy Spirit. I want to live in who You are, Jesus. Just talk to Him this morning. Whether we use that word consecrate, which is to give yourself, or whether it's devote, which again is to give yourself, is to set yourself apart. Just afresh for 2012. I know it's only the middle of December, early middle of December. We're going to hit the ground running from the beginning of January with 20 days of prayer and fasting, encountering God. 3 2020 Sundays, just really going through some stuff from the Word about who we are in God, who we are together as a people, and who we are in terms of what that means to the world. No matter what sphere of life you're in, no matter what your business is, what your work is, what your job is, what you're doing in life during this season, no matter what that is, you know, our primary call is to know Jesus. Our primary call is to actually make Him known through our lives as witnesses. And then God places us in different spheres of life doing different things to touch the world in different ways. I believe God is just last week, this week, saying, I just want you to consecrate yourself in afresh to Me. Understand that my life is Yours, Jesus. I don't own it anymore. I don't have the rights to my life. I've given those to You. But understand that as I've given the rights to You, that means there's total freedom and liberty and life in You, because there is no hindrance or restriction in Your life. Your life is unlimited. I just talked to Him this morning. Just surrender yourself afresh to Him, your time, your finances, your family, your work, your business, your resources, your skills, giftings. Just surrender all of that to Him in a fresh way. Consecrate it to Him. Consecrate yourself, the Word says. For tomorrow I'll do amazing things among you. There's a flow in the Word that as you devote yourself to Him, if you follow through where devotion takes you, it ultimately, as you devote yourself to Him, as we do that together, it says that we have favor with the world. And then the world comes to the people of God. They come in their chains and they come bound up. They come in all their limitations. But because they understand that there's freedom in the living God, there's healing in the living God. We haven't got time to go into all that now, but I just want to encourage you over these next few weeks. I know we've got Christmas, we can relax and take time out and all of that, but don't unplug spiritually. Don't take time out from God. Don't withdraw from your spiritual life and health. Continue to draw on Him, because we want to hit the ground running in 2012 with everything God is wanting to do, not just say, but what He wants to do in us and through us, amongst us and out. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your awesome name. Father, I thank you for a devoted people. I thank you for a consecrated people. Father, I thank you for a people whose hearts are after you. We thank you, Jesus. We're living for purpose, just pleasure. We're living beyond the moment. We're living for a cause, one that has an effect, one that brings change and transformation. The choices you make daily this week affect the life of who we are. Make right choices this week. Choices that you know are going to build into the life of the church, the health of it. You think, well, what difference does it make? It's the vibrancy and life of what's going on inside of you. When you connect with others, if you're vibrant with the life of God, you're going to encourage, you're going to strengthen, you're going to help. You know, imagine if we all live like that when we meet together. What's the vibrancy of life going to be like? So, Father, I thank you for the people that are pursuing you, seeking you, pressing after you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your healing grace this morning in people's bodies around this room. Father, I just pray for Robert Monks. Robert fell down the stairs last night, had to go into hospital, and they've been doing some checks. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in his body. I thank you for his memory will come back speedily in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your healing grace this morning around this room. Bones being healed, muscle disorders being healed, blood diseases being healed right now. Father, I thank you. Somebody with a skin disorder being healed right now. Somebody else with alopecia, you've had an itchy scalp, really irritating scalp. God is healing you right now. Somebody else in your left ear, you've had a ringing in your ear. I just command that ringing to go right now. Just command your healing to be clear, to be open right now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, your bowels, you've had irritable bowel syndrome. God's healing you right now. All that irritation and discomfort is leaving your body right now. Somebody else, you broke your right foot a number of years ago. You fractured it. It's caused you a lot of pain and difficulty. Well, God is rectifying that right now. You're going to have no pain. You're going to be able to run and do sport again. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now in Jesus' name. Somebody else in your pelvis, God is healing you right now where you've had restrictions. You've even had a clicky pelvis. And God is healing you right now where you stand. Somebody else in the lower back, you've had muscle spasms and disorder there. And God is healing you, freeing you from that pain and discomfort in Jesus' name. Somebody else in your left shoulder blade, you had an accident a number of years ago. And you've had restricted movement because your shoulder blade was damaged and in some way. And God's healing you right now. And some of the tissue that was damaged around your shoulder blade. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now. In people's bodies. Father, I thank you for a healthy body, physically, mentally, emotionally, as well as spiritually. A healthy body in the name of Jesus. Father, we exalt you, we praise your name. Come on, give God a great shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.